Chris?
Juan.
All right, man. How you doing?
Good. How was your Thanksgiving?
You know what? It's been amazing. It's been 5 years and I took a vacation.
What?
A real one this time. But I included my Thanksgiving into it. And I am actually technically still on vacation. Mm-hmm. It's been interesting just kind of not doing anything. Mm-hmm. But also, like, finding ways to keep myself busy so I don't blow my mind away or be belligerently drunk at home all day. So I've actually done a lot of activities. I did a downtown art walk.
Ah.
Yes, right?
Well, now.
Exactly. Fun. Thank you very much.
Fun, sir.
I also went to the Miami Book Fair, which I think we covered in the last episode. But yeah, the book fair started at the Miami-Dade Library, which is a fucking awesome library.
Oh, yeah. That's the central library. That's kick-ass.
It's fucking kick-ass.
It's as close to like a real old-school library you're going to get, you know?
Oh, excuse me. My my faggoty fucking vodka pineapple puree didn't quite liquefy everything. Oh, it stings. So yeah, so I did, that was actually kind of cool, like looking around downtown and, you know, it's like, it takes about 2 hours. I walked the whole thing. They tell you to take the Metro Mover and shit, but I don't know how that works.
It's not complicated. It goes one way, it goes another way.
I know, but I was like, you know what? I can walk 5 blocks. It's cool. I've been through by the way, the reason why I took that fucking, I walk was because there's a few bars in downtown that I fucking love. We're all conveniently in the way of the walk.
Yeah, like, oh, shit.
Pub 1, if you guys haven't been to, you need to check out. The Filling Station, need to check it out. All within that walk. And did you ever watch the documentary Exit Through the Gift Shop?
Yeah.
The Banksy one? Remember how when we first get introduced to the guy who records everything, he follows around the Space Invader guy? There's... And again, I don't know if it's an original or not, but there's a...
One of his pieces up?
Yeah, it's right there on there.
I haven't seen it yet, but I heard already through, like, Grapevine, that is the argument that he is here.
He is
doing
here?
Shit for Art Basel, yeah.
Nice. Yeah, because I ran by it, and I was... walked by it, and I was like... And I kept looking at him, like, I know that's Space Invader because of the video game, but I'm like, is that Space Invader from the, you know, from the documentary that I saw? So I took a picture of it, and, you know, I'm hip now. But I thought it was kind of cool, though. I was like, oh, maybe he's here for Art Basel. That was kind of cool. So, yeah, so that was cool. I had my little adventure driving up to Jacksonville, Orlando, and just the whole mid-Florida area. Just I figured since I'm leaving, I should kind of check it out. I paid $300 for a fucking blown tire because it was after hours.
Really?
Yeah.
Sheesh.
Yeah, middle of when you get a blown tire in the middle of nowhere, and the place is closed, but they're still there.
Yeah,
they
They have an rape you.
Oh yeah, and you really
They put it in dry. They don't.
Yeah, no, I think they use sand actually.
They use sand.
I think they
and they fold it and open it inside you because.
No, no, what they do is they go in deep quickly, and then they pull out, and this is what they call gaping. And they stick their fingers from the from both ends, like 4 fingers, and then they stretch so they can look inside, and then continuously go back and forth, in and out.
That's the divide and conquer.
Yes, that's what it's called. The sand is very important, though, or else you would not know what's happening to you.
Yeah, because then the tears aren't real.
No. After a while, though, your tear ducts run out of liquid. And you just kind of just sit there and lay there. And then, like, for some reason, you're like, why my legs are behind my head? It's cool. Yeah, it was interesting. So that I went to Jack Kerouac's house. That was the pilgrimage that initiated the entire event. That and the whole taking time off. I'm like, I've never done it before. Like I said, keep myself busy. Mm-hmm. Don't fucking blow my brains out. So that was kind of cool. It was... There's something, the organization is called Kerouac, the Kerouac House. And what happens is they've been trying to make sure it stays a historical place for the longest time. And what they have, it's actually very cool. They, writers petition, you know, they take submissions and things like that. And they allow a writer or a striving writer or a wannabe writer, whoever, to live in the house rent free for 3 months out of the year. And their purpose is just to live there and read. I mean, I'm sorry, write. You can read, I guess, if you want to. But but anyway, the whole purpose is for you to just have no worries. You know, just sit and write for 3 months. And throughout the 3 months you're there, they'll make activities. So people come and, you know, they have little readings and things like that. And, yeah, so you technically can't take a tour of the house because someone's living there. So what you do is you show up really early. And you sneak pictures of the house all around so they don't notice.
It's like some guy making breakfast. Like, what?
Yes. But that guy happens to be a...
If I lived there, I would totally make like a Jack Kerouac ghost costume. And just come out at night. And you know, some asshole's like, tell me the secret. Chris Guillen.
Yes.
Stop writing. It's hopeless.
But yeah, that was kind of, like I said, because it's Kerouac, and, you know, my shit is, I mean, Kerouac is God to me. Mm-hmm. So that was very cool. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's, you know, it kind of, like, the neighborhood, driving into the neighborhood, first of all, there's no fucking parking. Mm-hmm. I said, fuck it. I just stopped in the street and said, if I'm going to take some pictures for 2 minutes, it doesn't fucking matter at this point. It's, you know, fucking buck fuck early right now. Yeah. If anybody even notices I'm here. It's their own damn fault. Mm-hmm. But
what part of Orlando is this in?
Like, a little bit north of Orlando.
Oh, okay.
And it's in a neighborhood, like, you know, houses and shit. And it's like, you pull up and you're like, this is the address, this is the house. And you're looking around, you're looking for, like, a sign that says fucking Kerouac's house, you know, or historical fucking house that Kerouac wrote, you know, so-and-so novels. And no, it's just a house. And
well, they probably, But so are they approved as a historical site yet, or they're in the process of...
I think they are. What they're trying to do is register in some sort of thing right now, but I think they... Mm-hmm. I think it is considered a historical house. I think they've been doing that they did that a few years back. Mm-hmm. But yeah, but it almost bugged me, like, this is not a big deal to people. What the fuck? Mm-hmm. Your neighbors to that fucking house that gave you On the Road, the Subterraneans, and God knows what else, and you fucks don't even know.
Yeah.
Again, it's been kept, you know, they take care of it, it's nice, but I was almost mad, like, what the fuck is wrong with you people?
Yeah.
Shouldn't you be up every morning delivering fucking, sacrifices to the house? Shit. Hemingway's house gets more respect than that, and Hemingway's a fucking bitch.
Yeah.
Although, his house is pretty fucking badass. Yeah. I have to agree, that fucking house is gonna be there 100 years after Kerouac's house is just destroyed by the weather alone. The fucking Hemingway house is ridiculous. Yeah. That fucker, he spent his money well, is what I'm saying. But they have little tours that fucking, you know, the bad tour guides, you know, tour guides that could use a little work, but still. I was almost disappointed, like, but then it all goes back to this. In Hemingway, in his lifetime, he got to see the success of his work. He was, you know, famous. Like, this is one of his many houses, you know. The dude built a compound for himself, and he earned it. Yeah, Kerouac, on the other hand, he, you know, didn't know what the fuck to do. His drunken ass didn't know what to do with his fame.
Well, I think he didn't pursue that. I guess.
Yeah, you know, and that's that.
It came to him, no?
That was the house he bought his mother. Whenever he ran out of money, had nothing to do, nowhere to go, no woman to let him live there, they'd bring him in, and you know, he'd always be able to go live with his mother. You know, so that I get that, but at the same time, show a little fucking respect. It's goddamn Kerouac's house. It was awesome. It was so fucking awesome to see that house. I kid you not. I got giddy. I got a little confused. It was just very fucking cool. It was just one of those things. Like, I should have done it years ago, having lived out here. You know. Yeah, it was definitely a pilgrimage. I thought it was just a great way to fucking.
And that goes to show how much anybody's ever really talked about it, because pretty much till you told me, I did not even know he had a fucking house in Orlando. When you told me, I'm like, for real?
Well, he's from Massachusetts originally, but he bought his mother a house in New York, and then she got tired of living there, so he also bought her a house in San Francisco. He also got tired of living there. His sister lived out in Florida, in Orlando. So he bought her a house out here so that she could live close to her daughter. But it became the house centralized around his life. Whenever New York was too big for him. He'd end up there whenever he, like, you know, whenever he'd get restless, he'd pack his shit from that house, go on his adventure, write his fucking books, and always end up back in there. And that's, you know, basically where he died. His old age, like, the people didn't want him anymore. That's where it all ended. And his mother just stayed there. The house was, you know, like, passed on to his relatives. So it's always been in the Kerouac family. It never left the family. But yeah, no, I'm telling you, for me, it was like, again, pilgrimage. It was just like, this is me paying respect to the man who has influenced me as a writer the most. It was, I'm telling you, in the moment, I was just like fucking sneakily taking pictures of everything. But later on, as I'm driving away, it's sinking in like, fuck, I was just in Kerouac. I was just sitting on Kerouac's porch. Secretly.
Secretly.
So that somebody didn't come out and go, what are you doing on my porch? But no, it was definitely fucking cool. And like I said, because I'm, you know, I'm leaving this fucking place soon, I actually took a vacation. I'm like, you know what? Fuck the blown tire. It was a little expensive. Let's not say fuck the blown tire. It kind of cut into my budget quite a bit. But, you know, it was fucking cool. It was fucking cool. And only because I've been a fan of this fucker's work for, it's about 16 years. You can't get mad.
But yeah. I don't have any of that. I don't have, like, a thing I will take a pilgrimage to. You know that? I don't have anything, like, place or person that I'll be like, yeah, I want to. If I happen to be there, it's cool.
But not.
But, like, I would go out of my way to go.
But, you know, I mean, like, I guess Kerouac is the only guy. Like, when I went to the Keys, I went there because of Fantasy Fest. But it just so happens Hemingway's house is down there. Yeah, and exactly. I knew that. I was like, I want to see some six-toed cats. Yeah,
Karina's the one who took me in. She was just like, oh, we should go there, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all right. I mean, I've been to the Keys a million times. Never gone into that place. Why not? Let's go. It's like New York. I've been to New York a million times. Never gone to the Statue of Liberty. Never gone to the Empire State Building. None of those shits. I've never done it. I've never been, like...
I know. Every time I've been to a big city, I've always hit the major places. But, like, I went... The first time I ever went to SF, to San Francisco, I definitely went to Haight-Ashbury, and I definitely went to Jack Kerouac fucking alley, which I thought was a street.
But it's really an alley.
It's an alley. It's like...
Yeah, I think...
Yeah, it's gay as fuck. But you know what, though? Loved it. Yeah. Loved it.
I just remember... I went to Haight-Ashbury once, because we had a friend visiting from Miami. And she wanted to go. She wanted to see everything. And, yeah, I remember just going there. And I'm like, it was, like, the first time for me going there. Because I was already living in the city. And I'm like, this is what it is. Like, and it was a Gap. And there was, like, a fucking Haagen-Dazs. Yep. And next to the Gap was the communist bookstore, though. Which I was like, what the fuck? Like, this is...
No, for me, it was City Lights.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to go see.
Yeah, I've been to City Lights. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, the first trip I ever went out there, my intention was like, I have to go see Haight-Ashbury. Well, I have to see Berkeley. I have to see Haight-Ashbury, and I have to see Jack Kerouac, which I thought at the time was street, but it's actually an alley.
You see, the thing is, I have a friend that he'll go to a lot of like war memorials, places for battlefields, stuff like that. And he's very into like war, like military history. My friend Yasser, so he'll like go to those places and like check out. And I'm like, I like the facts of it, and it's very cool, but I don't fucking give a shit. Like, to me, it's.
Dude, I mean, when I went to D.C., I happened to have a friend there who we had on the podcast, Peter.
Yeah.
And I spent an entire weekend, and he was just like, where do you want to go, dude? And I'm like, fuck, I have a list of shit. And it was a list of things I wanted to do, but no schedule. And it was just so happened that I visited all the war memorials, and it was perfect. It was, like, I didn't miss out.
That was like one of the few things that actually, did touch me. When I see the Capitol building and then you see the Washington Monument and then, what is it, Lincoln?
Lincoln, yeah.
That was cool.
It's the White House. For me.
I won't name who it is, but we did go to the National Mall and they were disappointed that it wasn't an actual mall.
Is it a woman?
I am not saying. But it happened and I was like, because I kept saying we're going to the National Mall. And they were like, oh, okay. Like, kind of like, why do you want to go there? Like, it's so weird. Yeah, like, why do you want to go there? Like, you hate the mall. Like, why would you go there? And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? And we get there. It's like, it's for the fucking museum. I was like, yeah. And she's like, can you believe they're all free? Yeah, we pay for them. Like, what the fuck you mean? We paid for all of this. All of this is partly ours. Like, man, whatever. But Washington, D.C. was surprisingly cool. Surprisingly hilly. There's hills there. Like, people don't fucking know that.
A
like,
lot.
I got there and I was like, we'll just walk over there. Oh, fuck. You know?
But I do, like, I remember the cemetery was awesome. The Memorial Cemetery was awesome. The Marine Corps Museum surprised the fuck out of me. I thought it was going to be a fucking shack. Like, I mean, look. Look, I love my Marines.
Mm-hmm.
But we, like, we're very proud Marines.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not a lot of love shown to us.
Well, it's not ceremonial.
We're not. You know, look. Look, one thing I am very proud of. Mm-hmm. The Marines are considered to be the President's Guard, the President's Army. Anytime you see a President come off of U.S. Air Force One, there's a fucking Marine waiting for him. Anytime you see him doing a speech at the White House, there's a fucking Marine around him. Camp David is surrounded and guarded by Marines.
Mm-hmm.
That's proud as fuck. The fact is, we fight. We go into battle and we fuck shit up. But we don't have a big budget. If you see the gear that the Marines work with, not a big budget. Mm. They're like hand-me-downs. A lot of fucking hand-me-downs. But we have a lot of pride.
Mm.
But when I went to that fucking museum and I saw, I mean, it is, you can spend 4 fucking 5 hours actually walking through the whole museum. Not even stopping and checking shit out, just literally walking. They put some work in there.
Mm-hmm.
That shit surprised me. I got a little teary-eyed. I was like, holy shit, there's a little bit of love out here for us. They have the original fucking flag from Iwo Jima up there.
Mm-hmm.
Not a replica. No, the fucking flag that hung up there that's got the bullet holes. That, actually, you know what's funny thing? I didn't expect to get a little, you know.
Misty-eyed.
Yeah, but like seeing all the wars, the death, I'm like, blah, blah, blah. And that dude's like, this is the actual flag.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it, and then like he wanted to for me to understand, like, you don't understand, sir. This is the actual flag that's in one of the most what is it called? Duplicated pictures and photographs and reprinted photos. This is that flag that you see everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And like it took almost took a minute for him to leave. And I think he does it on purpose. He leaves and just leaves you alone to look at the flag. And you're looking at the bullet holes and you're looking at the torn sides. And then it sinks in. It's like, holy fuck. This is the fucking flag that was on that mountain. Mount Sirubachi? Sirubachi?
I could have told you Hibachi. I don't know.
Sounds good to me. But you know, it was one of those things, like, that was the one that got me. I was like, fuck. And that just being a Marine, it definitely, like, sunk in that moment. But again, though, the museum is awesome because it's a huge centerpiece that they dug into a hill. So from the outside, it just looks like a giant entrance to nothing. Once you get inside the hill and everything, it's they even have a bar. Course. They call it a tavern, but really it's a bar. No, but I'm telling you, it was one of those, like, it definitely, like, sunk in that moment. I was like, fuck.
And then, we're going to the postal museum over there.
I've never
been. It was like the only one that we had to pay for, but we really? Just yeah, it was the only one we had to pay for, but we're like, fuck it, we're already here. It's a little ways off away from the actual National Mall, but we went. It's actually really fucking interesting. Like, stamps from around the world. Like, we're looking at stamps from, like, Venezuela, Cuba, Mexico. And I'm like, look at that shit. We have stamps. So it was interesting. It was interesting. I have to admit. They had all the vehicles, how the fucking post office started. I know it ain't cool Marine shit, all right? You're fucking looking at me like, yeah, that's great. That's like, well, I should have said the postal story first, and then you go into the Marine. Would have made a nice lead-in.
Because stamps from around the world is like saying sands from around the world. Like, there's sands from Iraq, sands from Iwo Jima,
no,
sands
come on. But stamps, you know, they have a thing. There's an aesthetic. Somebody fucking drew those.
Yeah, it's like collecting coins, right?
Yeah. It's boring as fuck, but still, it's kind
of
cool.
No, but actually, I'm surprised I didn't know. Does it come with history of, like, postal service?
Yeah, they have, like, all the vehicles, all the different times that people have delivered shit, Pony Express, how it started, blah, 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 like, every little fucking thing. And it's kind of cool, because, like, you see how, like, some of these guys, like, trekked through all this shit to deliver a letter and did all this stuff. And you see, like, you know, like, they showed that they had, like, a sled from Alaska. That was a postal service sled that used to be pulled by fucking dogs. Like, that was balls, you know? That was
so, that is kind of cool. All right, we'll give you that. It's kind of cool.
You know?
Because I'm sure they must have had rifles with them for bears
probably,
and shit.
Probably, yeah. Yeah. Well, like, Pony Express, that was, like, full on, you know, that's where the stories of, like, oh, 100 Indians would come around the fucking corner coming in, and this one dude riding like a maniac because they wanted to stop the fucking postal service, you know?
All right, I can see how that would be cool.
Well, I mean, that's the thing too. Like most overall, the National Mall, everything. I don't think I saw anything that wasn't cool. Like there, you know, the history of this country is pretty fucking grand, and it's like you can walk around and be like, "That's fucking cool. That's fucking cool." I remember I went to like the Aviation Museum. That one blew.
That is, yeah.
Yeah, that was like, oh fuck, because it's like this shit's been in space, you know, kind of stuff. So
yeah, that is pretty ridiculous. It almost reminds me. This is a stupid fucking comparison. But have you ever been to the Hall of the Presidents in like the Disneylands of the U.S.?
I think that's only in Disneyland. I don't think they have them in Disney World.
Oh.
I know what you're talking about, though.
Yeah, but it's animatronics. Yeah.
Yeah. The robots. Well, I'm doing a robot thing now. I don't know if people can't see this. I'm
a doing my terrible robot thing. But
my robot's pretty fucking deep.
It's basically a theater of where they show you like the history of the major presidents.
I'm Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, and I saved the, you know, and what this is what I did. And then like in between they'll have an animatronic representation of a president who says something like, you know, this is, you know, President Madison, and like he'll tilt his hat. And they go through every fucking president. Towards the end of the show, they go through every single fucking president.
Do they update that shit? Is there like an Obama?
They do. They do, because when I went, I saw Clinton.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. So they do update it, so I'm sure.
Do I have a Lewinsky come on like...
Oh, see, you already have to come and sell you.
Why not?
Look, he was not impeached. Everybody was cool with that.
Oh, come, because please, you're going to impeach somebody for getting a blowjob while being in office? Then how, like, the whole Congress would have to be hanged.
All I'm saying is the president holds all moralistic values of this country.
Exactly.
Well, and he's a married man. So that is immoral.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, you know, if you're going to impeach somebody, don't impeach him for being a dickhead. Impeach him for getting a blowjob.
Next up, I'm going to throw up in a hat.
And he had no sexual relations with her. So, you know, I mean, I can see why they didn't impeach him.
Just like he didn't inhale.
He didn't. If you were a connoisseur of any type of illegal substance like that, you'd know if you don't inhale, it's not even it's not even worth it. Speaking of which, a couple states fucking legalized it, huh?
Yeah.
Recently.
Yeah.
Was it Massachusetts and Colorado?
Is it Massachusetts? I know it's Colorado and Washington.
Oh, no.
Washington State and Colorado sure. I think New Jersey was up for it, but I don't think they passed
I think I confused Massachusetts being one of the states that's allowing gay marriage now.
Okay.
But yeah, but you're right. The Washington and Colorado.
Yeah.
Dude, it's coming up.
No, it's just a matter of time.
I've always said, like, I have no problem with it. I did it as a kid, fuck it. But I've always said, if I live in a state where it's legal, I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that.
You'll smoke some Chiva?
Or whatever it is they're calling it nowadays. Because, you know, they have some Captain Fantastic or fucking...
Oh, well, that shit, yeah. Like, this is, you know... It's funny, because some are, like, short... The ones that always... It seems to be the word a lot. If it has a long fucking title, like, this is permanent, or, like, fucking, you know, Frankenstein or anything like that...
The Brown Bomber?
Yeah, the Brown... Then it's fucking powerful. But if it has a short name, if they just call it Lemon... Or what was the other one my friend had? He's like, this is pine. Like, that will fucking destroy you. It'll fucking destroy you. It was just like fucking what? And I'm not talking like, oh, I smoked a joint and then I got high. Or I had a bowl and I got... No. Like, I took a fucking... I was next to the motherfucker smoking it and I'm high. Like, it was that fucking strong. I have friends that are connoisseurs. And yeah, they'll sit there and fucking just sit there and explain to you every different type.
Yeah, no, the thing is, like, when I did my experimenting of drugs, I was like 14, 15 to about 18.
Mm-hmm.
It was 3 really good years. And back then, it was like you either had skunk, you had grass, or you had weed. And then somebody could show you like the special shit and go, if you look at the red hairs and the crystallization, you're like, oh shit, all right, I'll pay extra for that. Because they were telling you that. But for the most part, it was skunk, weed, or fucking grass.
Yeah. We used to call it regs. You either had regs or you had fucking... what was the other one? Fuck, I had it in my mind right now. But then I was high, so I forgot. Purple Haze and shit like that.
Yeah, you know, like I remember the only other crazy one was fucking Hocus Pocus, which was like, it was laced with fucking coke. Yeah.
That's what you guys got? We called that a geek.
A geek?
Yeah.
No, for us it was Hocus Pocus.
Hocus Pocus,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I But yeah, but those 3 years were like, those were the, and those were the worst years for me, yet the best years. Mm-hmm. Those were the years where I was reading Kerouac, mm-hmm. where I was reading fucking Thompson, where I was reading all the Beats and fucking, mm-hmm. you know. So I was like, I want hallucinogenics. I want LSD. I want this kind of weed. I want this kind of tea or, you know, whatever. So it was like everything under the fucking sun in those 3 years. It was amazing 3 years of my life. Mm-hmm. And then I, you know, joined the service and stopped. And I never went back just mm-hmm. because, you know, I don't, like, I hate to say it, but I kind of grew up, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And, like, I got out of the service and I was like, well, like, now I got to get a real mm-hmm. job and shit. They're not paying my rent anymore.
Yeah.
And it was... It kind of like, you know, like drug test when you apply for a job. So you just never did, you know, random shit. Yeah, it
sobers you up.
Yeah, you know, so, and then, you know, California had, I think they went legal, medical legal mm-hmm. once I moved out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I would have. But I've always been a little sketchy about it. Like, I have no fucking problem with drugs. I think drugs are cool. But I have a problem with the law, you know?
Mm.
And it's just, it's almost like a scare tactic for me. Like, I've always just been like, hey, you just kind of follow the laws, you know? Mm. Like, I understand being an anarchist, you know, if you're fighting, like, if you want to be a, like, even the fucking Occupy Wall Street fucks, half of them were on, the other half were fucking jerks.
Mm.
My belief, again. But it's like one of those things, if you want to be an anarchist, and you want to fight against the government, you want to fight against, that's fine. If you're calling yourself an anarchist because you fucking smoke weed illegally, but then you're a fucking...
Well, I don't know who the fuck, you know, would go that far. You
no,
know?
But you know, the people who fucking, you know, the whole, the, you know, it's a natural plant, grows from the earth, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. You know, the fucks who try to, they try to find some sort of way to rationalize why they do it.
Mm-hmm.
Not just because they want to fucking smoke weed, but because... Mm-hmm. You know,
they want to put like justify it with some kind of like pointer period.
Yeah, you know, but no.
Yeah, that, I mean, that, but people do that with everything. I mean, no, yeah, fucking gonna... vegetarians can be self-righteous assholes.
They can be.
You know, like, you know, I don't eat because, and it's not even the protect the animals thing. No, because you know how much meat costs to be making, and it's fucking delicious. Shut the fuck up. I'm not, I have to enjoy meat now because the way fucking things going.
Yeah, I know, right?
You know, I'm fucking, you know, I want to be old man and be like, I know what a steak tastes like. You know, imagine. I remember that shit.
We used to make beef jerky out of it. We had so much of it.
Exactly. Supposedly, who was telling me? Was it you who told me that Indians kind of love American, Native Americans kind of think it's fucked up that we make beef jerky? They're, to them, that's the worst shit you do to meat. Like, that you do it. That. Okay. Now, somebody was telling me, like, a lot of Native Americans, especially in the Northeast, kind of look at us like,
Assholes
for doing that. Like, you do that because you really have to preserve the meat for a long fucking winter, and you'll dehydrate it. You don't do that because it's connoisseur or it's like, ooh, check it out, beef jerky. Like, no, dude, like, you do, that's horrible. You don't eat that shit, you know? So it was somebody was telling me about that shit.
No, but yeah, it makes sense because, again, I spent a couple days watching, a couple of hours watching Alaska Last Frontier, and it follows these, like, you know, people who kind of live off the land.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys who went hunting for like 3 to 5 days right in the fall, right before mm-hmm. the winter, because they need to collect at least 200 pounds of meat, freeze mm-hmm. it, and that'll get them through the winter.
Yeah.
If not, they have to dig into their can supplies.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy was, you know, he's like, fuck. He goes, this is the worst I've seen. He said, I saw a doe, which I couldn't shoot at. He said, but I saw no fucking buck. You know, 3 to 5 days. He said, mm-hmm. now I have to go into my own supply, kill a cow or two.
Mm-hmm.
That are going to give me about 200 pounds of meat, freeze them, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, it's all about doing humanely, you know. Mm-hmm. They do it because they're going to use every part of that fucking cow.
Mm-hmm.
And this other couple who didn't have the cow or the hunting, who went fucking fishing for, you know, 30, 40 fucking salmon. And then it was like, well, we can't carry fucking 40 salmons back to our house. So they start cutting them up into fillets, and then they start stripping them into, you know, little things, and then they build a fucking homemade smoker in the out, because like, this will help us preserve it till we get it back to our house, freeze it, mm-hmm. and this will get us through half our winter. The other half is going to be the canned foods we prepare for.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, holy fuck, in my head, I'm like, Jesus Christ, this is what these fucking people do
mm-hmm.
to make it through, you know. And like, some other guy was like, I have to do 5 days of fucking wood cutting to prepare enough wood to get us through the fucking winter, because, you know, you have to have a warm house and all that. And I'm like, fuck it. And again, it's really cool because they do give you that. It goes, I think there was a couple who had two turkeys. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, we call one turkey tanks. Oof. We call one turkey Thanksgiving and we call one turkey Christmas. Mm-hmm. Because that's why we have mm-hmm. them. And we don't associate ourselves with them as being pets or yeah. getting somehow emotionally attached to them. No, mm-hmm. like we call them that because this is Thanksgiving and that's mm-hmm. Christmas. Mm-hmm. So we feed them really fucking well up until the fall. And, you know, we don't put them on a chopping block. No, we just, you know, we're feeding them and we cut the fucking heads off. It'd be
funny to have a farm and just name all the animals after people I hate. And just like that, it's like I want to kill them. But, you know, so I'd be like, oh, look, man, we got to fucking go get Molly Cyrus over there. We're going to have steak for dinner.
What does she ever do to you?
I hate her. I hate everything she represents.
Like, I'm waiting for the porno or the movie where...
Really? Who gives a shit? She's not that hot.
She's not that hot, but I still kind of want to see it.
It's like the fucking... What's her face? Is the twins. The Olsen twins.
No.
You know, it's like...
No, that's taking it too far back. That's taking it too far back.
But they're like fucking gross, dude. Dude,
like, I was recently watching Boy Meets World.
Oh, God. I heard some shit about that.
Because they're thinking about doing, like,
Girl Meets. I never watched it. Yeah, yeah.
I watched Boy Meets Girls as a Boy Meets World as a kid. And I was like, oh, that was an interesting show to me. And then I heard... And the only reason why I watched it was because I had heard about the Girl Meets World, about them being grown-ups and everything. I'm like, that's kind of cool. 20 or 15 years later, they're going to put them right where they're supposed to be 15 years later. That's actually clever to me. Mm. It's clever. Mm. Unlike what they did with some of the other TV shows we've grown up with. So I was watching that. I was like... Yeah, okay, that's a little clever. I mean, you know, it's okay to do that. How I started talking about this?
I have no idea.
What were you saying?
I want to have a pig that's called Molly Cyrus. I can stick in the fucking neck.
But you were talking about, this is actually great. You were talking about the twins.
Yeah.
Olsen. The Olsen twins. Those TV shows, they were fucking babies. Mm-hmm. I did not hear about Miley Cyrus until she was like 16 or 17.
So it's just justifiable mind rape.
I think I'm okay with that. Because
Your Honor.
If you take it to the Olsen twins, that's fucking... There's just something wrong with you at that point.
No, because remember, they had a career after that. They did a lot of little movies.
How many other movies did you watch?
I don't fucking care. Exactly. I don't care either way.
Do you remember them as babies on Full House?
Yeah, kind of. Yes, exactly. I hated that fucking show.
I know, but you remember the show. You remember what they did in that show. How dare you, or whatever the fuck their fucking slogan was. That's what I'm saying, though. If you can remember them as that little, then there's a problem of thinking about them in a sex tape. Mm-hmm. I found out about Miley Cyrus when she was 16 or 17. I think I'm allowed to go, I'll watch a sex tape. I think it's okay for me to say. Kind of like Boy Meets World, that girl who played Topanga. Mm-hmm. God forbid I remember her name. I don't. But if she made a sex tape, I'd watch it. The,
God, have you seen the Hulk Hogan sex tape?
No, yes, about 5 minutes of it.
Really? I haven't watched it. I don't know if I can do it. I don't know.
You know what? You know what?
I don't know if I can see the Hulkamania running wild on somebody's face.
It's actually not as interesting. It's darkly lit. Mm-hmm. And there's two or three positions. The thing is, she's a pretty decent looking chick. Mm-hmm. She's got a pretty plastic body, but whatever. What makes it worthwhile, I guess, when you're watching it, is that she's done it with, like, at least a dozen dudes because the boyfriend or husband was cool with it as long as she recorded it. Mm-hmm. So that kind of makes it a little more exciting. Yeah. All right, you're like, Hulk Hogan, yeah, she's writing him. Okay, he's doing his thing. And then he's talking about being bloated because he had a long dinner or a large dinner. And you're like, oh, Hulk, that's very romantic. Mm-hmm. But then when you find out that apparently there's a few of those because she used to just record herself with a bunch of dudes because that was the relationship deal they had with her husband. Mm. And it was like, oh, yeah, if you fuck other dudes, you have to record or else I'm going to be mad. Mm-hmm. And she got around. So then you're like, you know what? There's for people who happen to watch pornography to demean women, it kind of does it for you.
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there.
Okay. I just thought, you know, he was going to come, he pass out, Hulk Hogan, and all of a sudden, din, 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 din. I'm a real American. You know, and just have the finger in the air, awesome, wagging, like, you know. And
he's
then
just lying on the bed, and she's on top, riding him, and she goes, Hulk, Hulk, And she starts doing the countdown.
Dude.
And
then
he's like, ah!
Finger in the air, like, not going to go down. I'm a real American.
Somebody should do that, though. Fuck, that's good.
I wonder if you can do, like, Hulkamania Triple X. I saw one. I finally saw one of the fucking superhero.
Which one?
I saw, it was just a scene. It was like, what was it? Somebody sent me the one that on Spankwire. They sent it to me. It's like the YouTube of fucking porn.
Okay, there's a few.
Yeah.
But yeah, Spankwire is one of
them. And you're like, yes, yes, yes.
I'm just saying, I use it for motivation. Exactly. Uh-huh. For the record, people, for anyone listening, if you've read my stuff,
it's for recreational use only.
You're a pervert if you've read my stuff.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
And it was a Flash getting it out with some chick.
I have not seen
but that. It was like, it kind of sucked because it really, like, it was just got to the fucking, there was a couple of lines, and I'm like, dude, there was so many, like, I feel like directing
you've
some
seen
of those.
The wrong ones then, dude. I saw the Batman Adam West one.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the whole thing. It is, the dude who plays Batman does the voice. That's Adam
West.
Wow. Yeah, I know, exactly.
Wow. I'm impressed now.
The guy who plays Robin does the voice. The Joker guy, the Riddler guy, they all went out and fucking did these performances. That's what I'm saying.
I've seen so many because it's like Justice League. I mean, I've heard of so many. It must be because it's leading
cool. If you saw that one and you're disappointed, then you saw the wrong one. The Adam West, Batman one, Triple X, whatever. I don't know.
Hey, but he was in his costume the whole time.
Well, no, in the Adam West one, he loses his pants.
That's
but
it.
But he keeps the top part on.
Wow.
And he keeps the voice going, man.
Really?
Yes. I'm telling you, I was fucking impressed by that. I was like, fuck, that sounds like
God, they haven't done a Batman one just to hear, like, Bane, like, I'm going to come on your face.
Well, they did do one.
Yeah.
They do a Dark Knight Rises one, because I remember seeing, like, a clip of a Catwoman doing a dude. But I'm telling you, the one that I saw was, I saw the Avengers one.
Mm-hmm.
Where, I'm telling you, they do, like, a comic book Hawkeye costume.
Mm-hmm.
He keeps it on the whole time doing, like, Kitty Pryde or who... God knows who the fuck he was doing. Or like, Scarlet Witch or somebody.
Oh, okay.
But no, I'm telling you, like, those dudes... The only one they fucked up with was, like, trying to get Iron Man in there. They used them, like, digitally.
Oh, like the costume or something?
Yeah, because they couldn't quite... You know, get that.
Obviously.
The budget.
They have a budget.
The budget didn't allow for the full costume, but they showed them digitally in certain action scenes.
Yeah.
It was kind of gay.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember seeing the Avengers one, too, and I was like, dude, they actually, you know, they really tried. Like, the Hawkeye costume looks just like the fucking comic book one.
Mm.
I thought that was actually, they did a decent fucking job trying to make that happen.
God, imagine.
But anyway, I saw the Triple X... Avengers, and I saw the Batman Adam West. And the only reason I watched the Adam West one was because the guy keeps that fucking Adam West voice going the whole fucking time. And the guy who does Burt Ward plays it to a fucking T, like, does the stupid fucking everything. Except there's, you know, nudity and sex and shit.
Holy cock in your...
Yes, like, that type
balls.
Of shit.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Like, you know, if I could do Adam West...
Holy blowjob, Batman.
Like, if I could do Adam West, it would be, you know, oh my God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl he fucks is none other than Alexis Texas, who is creme de la creme fucking porn star.
Class entertainment, man.
It is. You know? I mean, I'm just saying, if you're going to do it, do it fucking right. Because, I mean, there's people who do fucked up versions, you know? I've never seen the Jersey Shore.
Yeah, the only thing that's funny is that people will send me that, and they really think I'm going to be crazy excited. And I'm just like...
Why not?
Thanks. Like,
I was excited to see Adam West.
I don't know. Like, to me, it's more the act of, like, oh, you know, him doing the voice the whole time. That's
I thought that was awesome. Yeah. You know, again, it's just... And again, the Burt Ward guy is that... which, because of that, I started learning about that porn actor James Dean, D-E-E-N. You know what? For a dude who does porn and doesn't take it as seriously as, like, you know, I do porn... There's a shitload of regular non-porn people who are like, yeah, I know James Dean. They're like, yeah, he's cool or whatever. Like, I started reading up on this fuck. Everybody and their mother loves him because he doesn't look like all buff and cut up like a porn fucking performer. Just because he looks like a regular dude who happens to bang chicks for a living.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you. And
isn't that what we all want?
Yes, that is what we all want. But no, but like he's doing a mainstream movie with Lindsay Lohan, The Canyons.
Okay,
so he's doing a mainstream movie with her, like co-starring with her. I mean, she's fucking two paychecks away from doing a real porn anyway. Yeah. But she's doing, you know, he's doing a mainstream movie with her. And I'm looking, you know, and I'm reading about it. And I'm looking at the comments. And it's a bunch of fucking chicks who who were like, James Dean, I would totally do a porn with you. I fucking love you, James Dean. Fuck me on camera. I have to talk to my boyfriend, but you could totally do me. And I'm telling you, and I'm like, what the fuck? When did porn become... Yeah. When did a mainstream fucking porn actor become a heartthrob to these fucking chicks? I'm telling you, that blew my fucking mind. I was like, that's fucking awesome that that's happening. Mm-hmm. The last time that happened was fucking, what, Deep Throat? And before and after that was would probably be Jenna Jameson, who went mainstream.
No, but there's a couple of... I remember seeing something... Yeah, Jenna Jameson, but that was... She was
well, no, the only other chick that I can think of recently is Sasha Gray.
Yeah.
Who did the Girlfriend Experience, the Real Girlfriend Experience.
Yeah.
Decent movie. She's an okay actress. Mm-hmm. Way better porn actress, let me tell you.
Yeah.
But she...
Yeah, but she's a cool chick.
Well, I don't know about that.
Sasha Gray?
I mean, like, I've seen a bunch of her stuff. She does great work in the porn industry.
Yeah.
And I've read some of the things she's written. She's actually very smart. Mm. But she's, I mean, you know.
I don't know, because I've seen her, like, she hangs out with David Cho a lot, an artist I like. So, like, I've seen her just hanging out with David Cho and just, like, talking, and it's just...
Again, she's very smart. She knows that. She knows how to handle herself, but I just never thought anything beyond, you know, she did really well in that one particular movie. Mm-hmm. You know, but she's one of those people who has gone mainstream. Fucking the Jenna Jamesons of the mm-hmm. world. And like I said, like Deep Throat. I thought Deep Throat was such an amazing story of how mm-hmm. that fucking porn movie went so mainstream at the end. This mm-hmm. was the 70s. Mm-hmm. But that's the only thing I can think of, you know? And then this, mm-hmm. I'm telling you, people, listen up. Go and Google fucking James Dean, D-E-E-N. Dude doesn't look like a porn star, but fucking bitches want to fuck him. Like regular fucking, mm-hmm. like late teen girls want to be in his fucking movies. And girls in their 20s want to fuck this dude just because for some fucking strange reason, that dude's got something that women want. It's amazing. It's fucking amazing. I don't know how we started talking about porn parodies.
You're the one who's going off about James Dean.
You know what? I want to shake his hand. I'll shake his hand and buy him a coffee.
Yeah.
Even though I don't drink coffee, but he seems, and that's, you know, and that, I guess that proves it.
He has a blog.
He seems.
Oh, yeah. I think I've seen this guy. He's, yeah. Now I see this. Yeah. He did a couple of films with Sasha Gray, too.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I know, but I'm telling you, he's the type of, like, me saying this, like, he's the type of guy I'd love to fucking hang out with because he doesn't seem like he is porn, you know? Mm. He just seems like a dude who does porn.
Yeah.
There's a dude. Oh, I'm
I was just showing Chris the thing here. It's a picture of James Dean with, like, some hipster glasses. And it's like, hey, James, how many girls have you fucked? Some obscure number you've probably never heard of.
It's so true. So true. But I'm telling you, he's one of those dudes. Because, look, growing up watching porn, I mean, let's be honest here. We've seen porn growing up.
Yeah.
For us, like, male actors, there's, like, a handful. And some of them were already from our previous generation that we kind of, like, mm-hmm. grandfathered into. Mm. Like the Ron Jeremys. I don't think that fucker fucks anymore, but we know him as a porn star.
Yeah.
Peter North.
But he has a huge, long fucking resume. Peter North's another one who has a long
resume. Those are the names that come to my head. Like, they aren't from our generation, technically. They were grandfathered into us. Mm-hmm. You know, like you hear
about male porn stars. I mean, there was a longevity. If they could, you know, keep doing it, they would keep getting work, you know. But you had to be able to compete with a woman. And in that industry, that's where women are king. I mean, Jenna Jameson said it, you know? She would be able to bang out, fucking literally bang out, like, fucking 5 or 6 scenes a day and then fucking go home and make a shit ton of money.
I read her biography, How to Fuck Like a Porn Star.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
She has a little, like, a little tutorial for women on how to suck dick.
Oh, really?
Well, and you know what? No, honestly, look, for a biography, she didn't take it serious. She wrote about her life, what got her into porn, and in between, she throws in little tidbits of, like, even like a little comic book. There's even a few comic book areas where she, you know, she just makes fun of, like, oh, this is how you suck a dick, you know, and she gives you like a 20 steps to follow, and like a little comic strip on her career as a porn star, like the movie she was in, and things. Like, she has fun with it. She realizes She's not trying to fucking change the world. She's not trying to fucking tell an amazing story.
She's realistic.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah. The only thing, bro, when she got that plastic surgery, I don't know what the fuck. I didn't think she was looking bad to get it.
She was looking great, and then she started losing that ridiculous amount of weight. Mm-hmm. You know what? Blame Tito Ortiz. As much as I love MMA, it's his fucking fault.
Really?
When he hooked up with her is when she started losing a ridiculous amount of weight and started doing the plastic surgery, which was horrible. Horrible. All right. She looked great, as you know, when she was performing. But anyway, one of the mainstream people who we can look at now and just kind of forget that she, you know, was a porn star for, you know, in 20 or 30 movies.
Yep.
It's amazing.
No, she had an empire. She had a whole entertainment empire.
Oh, no, her amazing story is this. She had a website called Club Jenna where she produced her own films from everything. Playboy bought her Club Jenna for a ridiculous amount of millions of dollars. Where she was like comfortable enough to go, it's yours. Fucking Playboy bought her shit. They're producing her shit now, but it's under her name. And they pay her a ridiculous amount of money.
That's brand recognition.
And that's awesome, though, you know? It's fucking awesome that you're able to pull that off. That you, like, you know, kind of like another porn star that didn't go mainstream but should have was Tara Patrick.
Yeah.
She had the same thing. She had Digital Playground and all those, that type of production companies making movies for women and things like that, and she just was never able to go mainstream, unfortunately. But she tried, and she, you know, I'm sure she's doing well for herself nowadays. Yeah. She hasn't been doing movies for a long time.
Yeah, last time I saw her on something, it was like some photography book, and it was interesting.
Is that the one where, like, the dressed and then undressed?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the last thing I saw about her.
Yeah, that was a very
cool. And there was a bunch of actresses in it that I was like, I know her.
By the way, we'll end it with this. Tara Patrick has the best, quite literally the best boob job ever fucking done.
That's a boob job?
Yeah. Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. That's how great.
Yeah, it looks natural.
Yes,
looks
like that's how the greatest fucking boob job I've seen in pornography or in any, you know, the limited experience I have.
Yeah, limited, just, you know.
But yeah, she has the best job that's ever been done. Amazing. Amazing. Not quite what I had planned for this episode, but that's where it went.
That's where it went.
Thanks for listening.
Naturally, it goes from Thanksgiving to porn. Bye.
Find Juan's drawings and musings at fuacata.com. That's FWACATA. Keep up with Chris's drinking and ramblings at typewriteronmute.blogspot.com. Also like them on Facebook at Zombie Ears and Christian Guillen. G-U-I-L-L-E-N.